This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy six Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1 liter flavors and get the seventh free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy six and get the seventh free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Wow. What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Tuesday afternoon. We'll get some Knicks in here, BT, but before that, we were both just listening to the promo there of Howie Rose and that call. Mm-hmm. This weekend, I was stumbling across some stuff on the MLB app, and they have great stuff on there in the archives and all that, but it was Mets specific, and I was watching two things. I watched the Soto. They have a montage of every home run Soto was hit at Citi Field. So obviously going back.
How many?
16, I think it was.
Okay.
Maybe it was 12. It might have been 12, 6, and 6. Either way, two things from it. Well, I mean, goes back to his national days, Padres, Yanks, whatever.
Sure.
But I noticed that half of his home runs were center field or left field.
Oh, yeah. That's his,
we know that.
He's
that's
not changing that.
But for a lefty at that ballpark, like usually that's a, I don't know, Yankee Stadium we saw, but everybody's like, oh, you know, Yankee Stadium's going to hit a ton of home runs because he pulls. No, not necessarily. He's going to hit the ball wherever it's pitched, and he's going to hit it hard.
Oh, yeah.
But to hit those line drives out of that ballpark for a lefty, so impressive. The other thing was I got caught up in some kind of like last year's montage thing, and it was both fun but also just unbelievable to relive now, like going back months, the Lindor homer against the Braves.
Oh, man.
Dude, it wasn't even. I wish I watched that before we had Lindor on so we could even dive deeper into it. Remember, the Mets were down 3-0. Then they took a 6-3 lead. Then Diaz coughed it up. Mm-hmm. And then Lindor hits a two-run homer to put them on top. Like, that home run was as big a home run as you will ever see with the season on the line, postseason appearance.
Yeah.
And he hits that home run. And then the Alonso homer that you just heard from Howie, like, thinking about all that went on comes down to that. And my favorite part of the Alonso homer was the emotion that he let out. First of all, he knew it was gone off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
When he was rounding second, you just see him going, yeah, and like losing his mind and the helmet shaking and just the euphoria. It gives me goosebumps even thinking about it. I don't know how you top those two moments that the Mets had last year with Lindor and Alonso.
Well, the way you top it is you do it in the World Series, yeah. but point certainly taken. I mean, I'm sure there has been somebody, but when was the last time somebody went from GOAT to hero that quickly, like Pete Alonso did that night when he dropped the pop-up by the first base dugout?
And you know, everybody was all thinking the same thing. You know,
yep.
That's it. Get him out of here.
Goodbye.
I'm sure people even tweeted it. Yeah.
Goodbye was the common notion that I think most Met fans felt at that point. And then, you know, I don't think it's a stretch to say that it saved his Mets career. I mean, you will never know the answer, and he could still be gone in a year or two based on the contract here with the opt-out after this year or whatever, but two max, and then we'll see if they retain him, whatever. But after that pop-up, I'm sitting there saying, wow, it's really over for this guy as a Met. It's done. It's a wrap.
Now, think about it. To your point, what do you think was the biggest key in the offseason, the turning point to bringing Pete back with the Mets?
I think it was the Fan Fest when they started booing Stearns and
Bingo.
Stearns and
going.
Yeah.
Bingo. If Alonso doesn't hit that home run, do you think the fans boo Cohen and Stearns?
Yeah, no, I don't think they do. I think that catapulted them back to a place where they were able to love Pete again. I mean,
right?
Really.
So to your point.
And his imperfections. Like, I think Met fans are very aware. You know, maybe they weren't always aware, but I think they're very aware of who Pete is as a player, both the good and the bad. But that reminded them, like, he's ours, and we want him for a couple more years.
And I think it's a great point that if he doesn't hit that home run, I'm not so sure Pete Alonso would be back with the Mets. Well, plenty on the Mets, of course. We were, you know, almost a week out from opening day, so we've been talking a lot of Yankees today. 888-808-1019. The Knicks last night, BT, they get down early, and you're thinking, geez, this team is a bunch of dogs, and maybe they're not going to respond. What was it, 12-0 with Miami getting out to the early run? Then Cat goes nuts with his 15 points straight and just doing things that big men don't do, which is what makes him so special. My main takeaway was not the win over the Heat last night, and not even really a response to the criticism that people, yourself included, threw their way with the Karl Anthony Towns stuff and Draymond Green, you know, the way the Knicks, his teammates handle it afterward, his coach handling it, we're dapping it up with Draymond Green after the game. It was more, this team is really freaking good. They are talented. I know the Heat aren't any good, so I'm not just talking about that win. But the way that they could light it up at any moment, I mean, Bridges again showing what he could do. Hart, another triple-double. Like, people just dismiss Josh Hart. Mm-hmm. He's breaking records, triple-doubles with the franchise, going back to Walt Frazier. Like, I know why you, BT, hold them to a higher standard with the expectations. I understand all your issues with the Knicks. I still feel like, as a majority, not just you, as a whole, we are underappreciating just how good this Knicks team is this year.
I don't feel that way, but I know why you say it. I honestly do know why you say it. I think if this was a year ago and there was some of the criticisms levied toward the Knicks, like, they're not going to win a championship, which I don't think they will, unfortunately, then I think it's, that's way too early. I mean, they're just getting this thing going. Let's show a little gratitude here. But when you make the move that they've made, as I've said many times, the expectation clearly is ratcheted up, and that expectation is now a championship, and I don't think that they're built to win a championship, both in the heart perspective. I don't think they're tough enough, and I don't think they've got enough great players to do it. But a couple of things, there was a lot there. So we'll cherry pick in here. Number one, I love Josh Hart. I think every Knicks fan does, but would you give me a break with the triple-doubles? Yeah, so I'm Clyde Frazier. He's got the same amount that he passed him. I think he tied him. With eight, whatever it was. Yeah, he's the same impactful player that Clyde Frazier was back in the 70s. Come on. It just tells you how diluted the NBA is. Please, he would have had quadruple doubles Clyde Frazier.
I'm not saying he's as good as Clyde Frazier.
No, I know but I can't even react to the record. Big deal.
But the fact that no Nick has done anything close since, like, doesn't that
the Knicks have
something?
Sucked for 20-something years.
Okay.
that's the answer.
But maybe that's kind of the point, right, where we actually have a good team, or even the best. You know, Josh Hart is nowhere near the best player on the team, and he's contributing at a very high level to triple-double.
I do love his grit. I am a Josh Hart fan. I just had to say, like, that's an observation. Like, come on, man. Number one. Number two, there's 15 games to go, all right? Do you think after the 15 games that you will feel better or worse about this Knicks team going into the playoffs? And before you answer, understand this. Now, I know Tom Thibodeau is a little coy, a little back and forth. Jalen Brunson's still in a boot, to let you know. I know you know this.
Wasn't there a report on that yesterday?
He said, yes, there was
April,
a report.
End of March, early April.
He's out. I don't think he's playing again this regular season. I really don't. He's still in a boot. And Tom Thibodeau was a little bit evasive. And again, that's gamesmanship, whatever. But he's like, yeah, well, sometimes he's in it, sometimes he's not. All right, well, if he's in it sometimes, that means we got a problem here with 15 games to go. So I just wanted to weave in the Brunson news. You make of it what you will. 15 games to go. We know everything we've seen so far. The good, the bad, the other stuff, which Draymond Green, the frustrating stuff. Do you think you'll feel better or worse about this team in 15 games?
I think probably the same. And if anything, I would lean maybe better only because of the emergence. Now, you were ahead of this. I was like, what good is going to come out of it with Brunson being hurt? I'd rather see him here. But you're seeing the emergence of Bridges. Mitchell Robinson back. Like, you're seeing some different things. And we know what's going to happen when Brunson comes back. Like, Brunson's going to be Brunson. The question is, how do the other guys respond?
Yep.
Specifically, Bridges. How is he going to respond? But I think maybe more encouraged because the defense, I do think, has been better. And because Bridges is showing he can be a top scorer He's just got to figure out how to do it with Brunson on the floor.
That's why I thought it was a bit of a silver lining. Like, you know, Jalen Brunson is going to come back, and, you know, when he comes back, he's still going to be Jalen Brunson, I would think. And you could even make the case that he's going to be energized and refreshed because his legs have really been on ice for a while. So, you know, with all the minutes that he logs and the, you know, double teams and the pick and rolls and just carrying the Knicks offense so often as he does, and going back to, you know, last year as well, that this respite here for him as his ankle heals might be better all around for his body going into the playoffs here. But the other reason why I thought there was a silver lining is because, and you just identified this, and it's the early, I don't want to overstate it, and it's not about me saying I was right. I don't even care about that. But I thought there was a chance that Mikal Bridges would assert himself on a deeper level because Brunson's gone. And I do trust that if Brunson's healthy, that he will seamlessly transition. And then the hope is that as he transitions back to being Jalen Brunson, this elevated role that Mikal Bridges now has will remain the same. I don't know if that will happen, but that was always my hope when Brunson went down.
Okay, so I ask you the question. You think you're going to feel worse about this team in the next 15 games?
I think I'm going to feel the same.
Right, okay.
I'm not going to feel worse.
So we kind of know.
Like, but I don't feel good now, to be fair. So I know, I'm not going to feel worse.
Right, and I feel better than you. Like, it's basically been consistent throughout the course of the year with how I felt going in compared to how you felt going in. And then we watched it play out. Like, if anything, I'm mildly discouraged only because of their performance against some of the big teams as far as the results go.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the watching every one of those games made me feel like the Knicks just can't compete at that level. Specifically on this West Coast trip, the Lakers game, I thought they played a hell of a game. And it just happened to be a tough loss in which Brunson got hurt. Now, they shouldn't have lost the game, blow the lead, whatever they did. But they played a hell of a game, and if you play a best of seven against that team, you're going to beat that team. Like, they could, and I'm not saying beat them, you know, 4 out of 7, but you're going to beat that team at least a couple of times.
You get a couple wins.
Yeah, like, I don't think that the Knicks can't compete at that level. Same thing with Golden State. Like, tough game. Without Brunson, they lost a tough game against the Warriors, who are as good as anybody right now in the league since they made the trade for Jimmy Butler. So those, to me, were kind of encouraging performances, all things considered, even with the losses. So that made me feel a little bit better.
Uh-huh.
You know, will beating the Celtics in April make me feel better, you know, before the postseason? Maybe the Cavs game, second to last game of the year. I don't know who's going to be playing for everybody, but maybe you could feel a little bit better if at least they get a win on the board against the Celtics and or the Cavs. The most important thing for me was seeing what Mitchell Robinson was going to do to this team when he came back.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, now we don't get to see Mitch with Brunson. So now I'm kind of pushing it forward, saying I need to see what this version of Bridges combined with Mitch and Brunson being healthy, what they could do in the playoffs.
Well, the good news, at least pertaining to, because the Bridges stuff, I don't know if he's going to remain as aggressive as he's been without Brunson, and we said that before, but the good news with Mitchell Robinson, you can plug and play him with anybody. You know, hey, go get the ball, set some screens, move your feet up top, block some shots, get some offensive stick backs, here's a little a rim runner, alley-oop to keep you happy because you're working your tail off on defense. I'm not worried about Mitchell. Like, I was just worried about Mitchell Robinson being healthy.
Yeah.
You know, but when he's on the basketball court, he is a demon, man. He is a difference maker. Listen, I think my three biggest issues with the New York Knicks are, and in really no particular order, although this seems to have come to the forefront, I didn't think this was that big of an issue until the other night with the Warriors. I just don't think they've got the championship part.
Did you see the...
I don't.
Did you see the... See, and I'm not there yet. I think this team's got some fight and some toughness. Maybe not to the level that we saw a year ago. Yet, remember, that team was battle-tested. They went through wars together.
Like, they did.
You know, sports wars, obviously. They go through those battles together. It bonds you as a team. You become tougher. This team hasn't done that yet. They haven't handled that adversity within a post-game series that you'd like to see, that you saw from the other group, and that you'd like to see this team moving forward. Did you see the commercial with
That's a good commercial.
It was a good one. The Nova guys, where you had Brunson, Bridges, and Hart, and they see Dante walking by himself. Oh,
and they're like, "Yo, what's up? How you been?" You know, they flip my hat. He looks so lonely. Bring him back already. it sure beats seeing the Samuel L. Jackson, Spike Lee, and Barkley commercials 30,000 times every March. Yeah. I mean, come on, they're driving across. We know. And by the way, I mean, how about Spike showing up at St. John's the other day? What are we doing, man? We know you're a Hoya fan. Stop. Come on. I understand you want to, you know, you want to insert yourself into the action. And I got no problem with Spike, but you know, now he's wearing a St. John's starter jacket, and he's up and he's front row, and he's cheering and hooting and hollering like he cares. Spike, you don't care about St. John's. You never have.
Spike Lee, let me pull down the hood just in case they clip this for digital. Spike Lee. Spike Lee, which camera's ours? Spike Lee is the biggest fraud fan that there is. Now, I've had an issue with Spike. I don't know him personally.
I've met him a bunch. Okay. He's actually pretty decent. Okay. He is. He's a pretty decent guy.
I had an issue with him back to the Reggie Miller stuff. Like, I took offense that Spike stuck his nose in my Knicks business. Like, just because he had the money to sit courtside doesn't mean he was a more passionate Knicks fan than I was. I don't want to hear that, especially back then. He cost the Knicks potentially a series and potentially a championship. Well, I have an issue with Spike since then. However, that's not the only issue. I mean, the guy shows up at the Met games with Doc and Daryl.
Mm-hmm.
The guy shows up at the Yankee games with the Dynasty Yankees.
There we go, Jeets. Come on, CeCe.
I mean, come on. He's all over the place. And now, and I did catch my eye as well with the Johnnies. Like, Spike, come on. I mean.
And I noticed him standing up, too, like he does at the Knick games. I'm doing the games. I'm like, look at him standing. Like, you know, no one else is standing front row. And he's jumping around. Like, again, if you're a St. John's fan, we all know you went back to Patrick and Georgetown. That's fine.
How many games you've done?
Stick with Georgetown.
How many St. John's games would you say you've done in the last 10 years, 15 years, whatever.
More like 20. I would have to guess 500. Maybe.
How many?
Zero.
How many you remember Spike standing?
None.
Up?
I've never seen him at one.
That's the definition of a fraud. Now, to each their own,
yeah.
But you're a fraud front-running fan.
It could have been worse. He could have been wearing like a Butler jacket or a Marquette jacket. I mean, at least he's wearing the right jacket. But again, you and I, at our core, we are... You know, we are non-negotiable with certain fan traits.
Yes.
And I believe I know Spike loves his Knicks, and I believe he knows basketball. I'm not saying he doesn't, but you parachuting in now? Where were you when Norm Roberts was the coach? Where were you? Where were you when Mully was winning 9 games that one year? What happened? I didn't see it too often, Spike. Why didn't you show up?
Yeah.
One big enough story for you, huh? Okay.
I'm sure that assuming the Knicks don't make the finals, you know, let's say LeBron and Luka get there against the Celtics, Spike will be there with a LeBron jersey on or something like that.
I don't think that's one thing. I don't think he's ever done that.
Did he wear a Garnett Nets jersey when the Nets were running? I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't put it past him. What, Spike's never been at these other games?
I don't think he's ever rocked Nets gear. Man, I'm going to have his back on that a little bit.
I mean, he is at least from, didn't he, Brooklyn, all that stuff? I mean, at least okay. And he comes up with those movies. And what was the movie there?
Which one? I mean, his movie's phenomenal. The Right Thing. Brooklyn? Jungle Fever. Clockers. Clockers soundtrack was money.
I mean, he's
very underrated soundtrack.
He's great at what he does.
Yeah. No, but you go back to Do the Right Thing, right?
Yeah.
It's Met stuff. You go back in the pizzeria and the delis, it's all Met stuff, Met jerseys, Doc and Daryl. Why? Because the Mets were the squad. But, Spike doing a little front running even back then.
That's what I'm saying. But by the way, it's okay to each their own, but like we know the deal.
Yeah, we do.
I would bet, I don't know this, I should have had a, I didn't plan on doing this, otherwise we could have been more prepared. I would bet that Spike has been at big NBA games.
Uh-huh.
With other teams' jerseys on over the years.
I'm going to push back on that. That's where I'm going to have his back. That's where he draws the line. I've never seen it, and I don't think that he's ever done that.
Not even a Jordan jersey?
With the sneaker? I don't...
Don't you think that's crossing the line if he did?
Yeah, no, it would be. Okay. I just don't think he's done it.
Not talking about the commercials. I'm talking about real in-game
Mars Blackman.
Action.
I'm talking about Mars.
I'm going to look it up during the break and see if we can find Spike in some other team's NBA gear sitting courtside.
Like Kobe or Giannis.
Yeah,
now, one thing, listen, if after Kobe was killed, that's one thing. But like, you think he's been in Milwaukee wearing a Giannis jacket? Or
maybe not Milwaukee.
Jokic in Denver? Or Jason Tatum up in... No, I don't think he's done that.
I feel like I've seen it from Spike
before.
I think
he's piling on now a little bit.
Hey, I'll take the L.
I don't know if it's official, you know. Yeah. You never know it's Spike. Right. We got to double check.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
BT and Sal back on the fan on this Tuesday afternoon. We'll get back to the calls here. Yanks, Knicks, whatever's on your mind. The Johnnies, of course, NCAA tournament. I tried. I Googled. I could not find Spike Lee in another team's basketball jersey. I did see him honoring Kobe at the Oscars with a custom suit, purple and yellow for the Lakers, 24 on there. That's okay.
100%.
Maybe my issue was, you know, him buddy with Reggie Miller now. You know, the best buds after what happened. Dude, that loss, like, you can't recover from what happened back in the 90s. And here's really the biggest point. Spike Lee is a... This is, I did a Google...
Google
overview. Spike Lee is a diehard New York Yankees fan. Although he grew up a Mets fan. I don't know what's going on here, but that doesn't make any sense.
Lee's
a passionate fan of the New York Yankees, been known to attend games and wear Yankees apparel. While he's a Yankees fan now, Lee had stated he grew up a Mets fan. Huh. Despite being a Yankee fan, Lee has expressed that he wants the Mets to win, especially in the World Series. I mean,
Lee grew up a Mets fan, when the Mets were good. That's the rest of the Wikipedia entry there.
We've got to get a little
low here on Spike. He's a good dude. But all we're saying is, we see you, Spike. We can't miss you, front row, you know, hooping it up and having fun. Just understand and just know that we know when St. John's was not good, you were nowhere to be seen.
Yeah, like he's worse than Drake. Drake has been known as a front runner.
Is Drake still in Australia? Did he ever come back after he got roasted at the Super Bowl? I don't know. What's Drake doing?
Yeah, I'm not
sure. I could care less about that stuff. But did he recover?
I just know that he gets crap for being, you know, courtside all the time, and people say he's a jinx or he's a front runner.
I think he's a real Raptor fan, though. Like, I think he's a good fan.
He's from Toronto. Yeah.
I know. Who's got a new album? Drake does, right?
Yeah, Drake just dropped a new album. And you are 100% right on him being a real Raptors fan. Because I can remember back when they were really building up that DeMar DeRozan, Kyle Lowry team.
Yeah, sure.
You saw him at all of those games. He was courtside.
I know he was.
A big job getting them the All-Star game. I forget what year it was, but he was like big.
Okay.
Influencing the NBA.
From Toronto.
Sure.
Big. He raps about Joe Carter in 1993 World Series.
Really? I don't remember that line.
By the way, Spike Lee, I just did a quick Google because I forgot to do before images. Spike Lee, St. John's.
Mm-hmm.
2 days ago. That's it. I don't see any other photos that come up with Spike Lee and St. John.
Pop up his top movies here. Let's run through a few of his top movies here. We'll get back to the calls. 888-808-1019.
You know a lot of these off the top of your head?
I know. Listen, I love some of his movies. I really do. Like, I thought that Jungle Fever was great. I thought Do the Right Thing was phenomenal. I liked Clockers. I know I'm missing a couple.
Spike Lee movies. Okay, let's see.
Spike Lee joint. What do you got?
See, 1983, Joe's Bed-Stuy Barbershop.
I didn't see that one. Was that his first one?
She's Gotta Have It, 1986.
Saw it. Not bad. Not one of my favorites.
School Days, 1988.
Didn't see that.
Do the Right Thing, of course, 1989.
Phenomenal.
Mo' Better Blues, 1990.
Didn't see it.
Jungle Fever, 1991.
Loved it.
Malcolm X, 1992.
Saw it.
Crooklyn, as I mentioned before, 1994.
Yeah.
I like that. And the soundtrack, Clockers, 1995.
Yeah. Again, that Clocker soundtrack, that's a sleeper right there.
Girl 6, 96.
Didn't see that.
Get on the Bus. He Got Game. Love that.
That's probably my favorite.
That is a great movie.
Yeah, Jesus Shuttleworth in the house. They filmed that at Lincoln High School right off the Belt Parkway.
And that is a great movie.
Great movie.
That's one that, if that's on, I'll watch it.
I love that movie.
Summer of Sam.
That was phenomenal.
I don't recall seeing that one. Really? Bamboozled.
Didn't see that.
That was 2000. 25th Hour. I think I did see this.
Didn't see that either.
Ed Norton?
Didn't see it.
Let me see. 25th Hour. Yeah, I did see that. I like that movie.
I lean more on his early stuff.
Dawson, I believe.
What was it about? 25th Hour?
Yeah, I think it was before he was going to go to jail.
Okay.
He had time to...
He's pumped out.
His last 24 hours before he had to go to jail.
It's a lot of movies.
She Hate Me. Okay, we don't need to go...
No, that's good. I just wanted to get some of the best ones here.
One recently that I've seen... Ba, 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 ba. No, there you go. All right, yeah, there you have it. Spike Lee joints.
Yes, as I said, joints.
BT and Sal, the fellas, get back to the phones. And Daryl, actually, in Roselle, New Jersey, wants to talk about Spike Lee. Daryl?
Hey, guys, what's going on? Hey, love the show.
Thank you.
I just want to say, sometimes there's a pretty good reason for switching allegiances. I grew up a diehard New York Mets fan. First game I ever went to, I watched Willie Mays. My uncle took me to it. But Daryl Strawberry became my guy. And when the Mets didn't do the right thing, in my eyes anyway, and bring him back, I was done with the Mets. And as fate would have it, due to Darryl's problems, and, you know, he brought it on himself, the only thing to give him a shot was the Yankees. That's how I became.
So you're okay with Spike switching teams? With Spike switching teams? Is what you're saying, right?
Okay. I mean, there's different circumstances, but
yeah,
I think
like the Mets were good in '86, '87, '88, and then right about when they let Darryl left, they weren't good anymore. And coincidentally, when the Yankees got Darryl, they just happened to be in the midst of a dynasty run. We get it.
hey, I didn't tell the Yankees to pick them up, but they did.
Who do you root for in basketball? I'm going to take a guess: the Bulls, and then maybe the Lakers.
Be honest with you, I'm a hockey guy, but basketball, I like the Nets.
Who do you like, Duke? College hoops?
Oilers,
Red Wings? Only one team.
Okay.
There's only one team to like. That's the Rangers.
Nice. We respect it, and thank you for the call.
Thanks, Darryl. Here's the thing. Like, switch, again, fan police, no, but it's... Like, to switch teams, do whatever. Do you. Be you. Do you. Yeah. Do what you want. That's fine. Do what you want to do. But what I honestly don't understand is when you switch allegiances, how are you able, if you're able to, if you're honest with yourself, replicate that pure passion that you initially had during your formative stages of becoming a fan for the first team? Like, how does it mirror the second team? Like, tomorrow, if I became a Giants fan, right, and even if the Giants won 5 straight Super Bowls, there is no way I could feel about the Giants because of what the Jets, it's just ingrained in me.
You can't. It's physically impossible. It's why I say,
Spike did it.
I know. Yeah, exactly. Well, that's why we call him a fair weather fan. He's not really a fan. Is it called?
Oh, he's a big Knicks fan, dude. He's definitely a Knicks fan.
Okay.
You're not doubting that, are you?
No.
Okay, come on. Let's not go nuts here.
I mean,
I'm not saying he's the best Knicks fan because he's got money. I think he's a real Knicks fan.
I would bet a part of him when Brooklyn took the Nets and were looking to be good, I would bet a part of him was like...
A little conflicted? Kind of looking over to the borough and seeing what's going on?
With Dolan, maybe. Remember there was a little thing there? But to answer your question, you can't. Like, we're joking around with Spike and all that stuff. And by the way, to each their own. Like, he can do whatever he wants. But like, as a real fan, you can't invest your emotion and your time from a young age in one team and all of a sudden say, you know what, I'm going to root for this team. It doesn't work like that. It's why we joke around about the Islander stuff. Like, I could wear Islander gear all I want. I'll never be an Islander fan, not because I don't want to root for them, because I can't. Like, I'm a Ranger fan. I invested my time and energy and passion into the Rangers since, you know, 92, whatever it was when I first really, maybe even 89, when I first started becoming a fan.
So that's like 10 years old.
Yeah, right. Like the late 80s, I probably started getting into it. Early 90s, I really started to watch it on a regular basis. But those are things that you can't make up elsewhere. Could you just decide, hey, I'm done with rooting for this team. You know, the Knicks have sucked for 20 years. Like, I'm going to root for the Mavericks. And then they win a championship. Are you going to enjoy it the way that you... like? It just
I don't know how you can. That's my entire point. I really don't know how you can. If you can, God bless you. If you get... Listen... I root for some bad teams. If you know what the elixir is, send it over. I'll drink some.
Yeah, be a fraud. Nick is calling from St. Augustine, Florida. What's up, Nick?
Nick.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing? Love the show.
Thanks, buddy.
I love the baseball World Series over there. BT, I got to say, when that first started, I thought you were going to, you know, be a little more strong. And I think there might be need to be like a regular season before you actually get to the World Series, you know what I'm saying?
So kind of like my opinion on the Yankees this year, not a sure thing to dominate the division to start. I got to earn it again. Well, I think I'm good, but I definitely lost. And I lost in 7, and I choked 2 years in a row. Is what it is.
It did go 7. And here's what I would say, and BT and I have had this conversation before, Nick, and thank you for the call. We appreciate you checking in. I don't think that there's anybody else that is here at the station that would do that as well as we could. Now, maybe they pick different years.
I agree with you.
But, like, because I thought about this. I'm like, I wonder if I could do this card game with anybody else. We've talked about that on and off the air. Like, the answer is no. It just so happens to fit both of our passions and wheelhouse, so we make it work. I mean, other people could participate, but you saw what happened. Boone stepped in the ring with the champs. Like, whether BT lost the World Series or not doesn't really matter. Like, we set the tone here. We set the table. And what was the consensus?
Boone was gonna mop us.
Oh, you guys. Boone's going to kill you guys.
He should have killed us. His dad, or he played with all these guys. I mean,
He knows them personally.
Sal, I would have been surprised before we did it. What was that, about 6-7 weeks ago when we had him in studio? If you guys missed it, it's on YouTube. It's
before
great.
The Super Bowl, so it was mid-January.
Definitely.
Maybe.
Yeah, it was before, because we talked about the Eagles getting to the Super Bowl. So about mid-January, it sounds about right. And if you would have told me, hey, you guys will go 1-1, whether I win or you win, irregardless. But we'd go 1-1 against Boone, I would have said that's honestly that's a pretty strong showing.
Pack doesn't go your way.
Yeah.
He's just rolling him, rattling him off.
He's been around the game since he came out of the womb, third generation baseball family, Boone. And his dad, his grandfather, he came up small. He did. And we love Boone.
Just like his team in the World Series.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say just like me today.
No.
I thought you were going to say.
No, I feel like we've had good battles. If I beat you 4-1 or whatever, or vice versa, it maybe wouldn't have been as fun. We went toe-to-toe last year in a grueling 7-game series. And again this year, maybe not as grueling, but still toe-to-toe for 7 games.
Here's the difference. And I say this not as an excuse. It helps you, and it's a good thing for you. So I remember most of the names that we do not by collecting cards.
Right.
I've told you that. By watching the Mets and the Yankees. And I mean when I'm 5 years old, every night with my dad. Starting with the Mets, because he's an old Dodger fan, as I told you many times. He's a Mets fan, whatever. And then I'd go to PIX and get Rizzuto and get Nettles and then eventually Mattingly, and I was all in with the Yanks. But I watched I watched their opponents every single night. But you actually have a visual frozen in your mind, a specific year and a specific card. There's never really a guy, if you look at where I make my mistakes, outside of the outlier, like who neither one of us heard of, it's like, oh, I know the position. Oh, I know the guy. I could tell you borderline stats, but I mess up the year because I watched him play, but I didn't have the card to look at, and that's your advantage.
I did create it based off of that. But a lot of times it does get jumbled, like, you know, it's 40 years ago almost, right? So it's not like, I remember, and then I remember what the guy played for in a certain year. Mm. Some come to mind, whatever. And by the way, the genesis of this, I don't even think I ever told you this. I remember being at my buddy's house, my friend Mike Brock. Unfortunately, he's no longer with us, but my friend Mike Brock, we were playing baseball cards, whatever, Little League teammates, went to elementary school, all that stuff together.
Okay.
And we must have been opening the pack of cards or whatever, and his father, Tom Brock, his father was like, look at this kid. He would like basically call me a savant with this stuff because he's like, he knows every player on every team and would pick a random name and I'd be like, oh, this team or that team.
Uh-huh.
Now this, I had to be, 9, 10 years old, something like that. But I remember that, and they were back then like, how the hell does this guy know all these? It's because I used to love the cards. I watched the games, of course, too, but like, I love those cards. And it always, you know, they've been buying these cards in recent years, going back to it. That's what it made me think of. So, yeah, pulling the card, picking that name, and just your memory of where he is on that card is how this thing all started.
So Mr. Brock's compliment and acknowledgement and potential recognition of a blossoming superstar at the Baseball Card World Series is really the impetus behind your rise.
Back some 30-plus years ago.
You should probably thank him as you get the trophy. I didn't hear any thanks and acknowledgements.
Thank you, Mr. Brock.
There you go.
Now 2-time World Series champion. All right, we'll finish up all the phones when we come back. 888-808-1019, BT and Sal on the Fan.
Call of the Day with Brandon Tierney and Sal Licata on the Fan.
Today's Call of the Day brought to you by Volvo Cars Ramsey. Finding the Volvo you want is easy at Volvo Cars Ramsey and by Edison Heating and Cooling. By the way, my friends at Edison Heating and Cooling, Mike. He texted me congrats on the...
What, on the World Series?
Yeah, he said Edison Heating and Cooling, New Jersey's heating experts. Charles is calling from Allenhurst. What's up, Charles?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey.
Joey Gallo's a pitcher. I heard C-Mac last night saying that he was throwing 97 or something. If there's anyone that could turn him into a good pitcher, get David Stearns on the line, baby. Let's go.
Oh, God, no. And thank you for the call, Charles. Oh, God,
Joey Gallo.
I know the Mets have done good things with their lab and this and that. Come on now.
You don't think Hector can get him going?
Come on, dude. Don't even. Joey Gallo.
I bet you he throws gas. I bet you he throws absolute cheese. I believe it.
I know, but we've seen guys throw hard. I want pitchers.
No, I know. Although, that is a very unconventional transition.
There'd be no risk involved, right? Hey, you know, there's a power arm.
We'll put you in Syracuse for a little bit or Double-A.
There you go. We discussed Joey Gallo for a few. In case you missed anything, and it's been a busy show, a lot of different topics, check it out on the free Odyssey app. You want to finish up on the phones here, BT?
Absolutely. Hammer them out.
Let's go. Here we go. We got a couple calls up. We'll get some random topics. We were talking about the Knicks before. Richie is in Queens on those Knicks. What's up, Richie?
Hey, boys, how are you?
Good. What's up, Rich?
What up, Rich?
Hey, Ray, I heard you guys yesterday real quick, and it would be a real big loss. If they lost the first round, that's a kicker. As far as Spike Lee, he didn't do the right thing. That's embarrassing, guys. You know, that's a pun intended. I mean, for him to do that, come on. You know, and real quick, I go back to San Francisco Giants when they left, and for 60 years I suffered. Used to take all my customers out, watching all the Yankee parades, and all I got was, why don't you become a Yankee fan? Because I'm a Giant fan. And when you change midstream, you're not a diehard. No doubt about it.
It just doesn't...
If you're going to go...
Go ahead.
Come on, Sal. And BT, if you've been a diehard fan, like you said, you worked through all the ups, the downs, the hunger, the sadness, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden, because your team is losing, you're going to go to a winning team? Nah.
Did you have, guys. Richard, did you have a point about the Knicks that you wanted to make before we say goodbye?
Yeah, you know what? With the Knicks last night, I was so impressed defensively. It's the first time I saw, OG was all over Hero, and this is what they got to do to make a run. Sal, you've touched on it. And, those the length and the perimeter offense gives them a lot of issues. They got to clear that up to go deep in the playoffs. Otherwise, like you said, BT, they can go out in the first round.
Yeah, I thanks for the call, Rich. Appreciate it, buddy. I said yesterday, I feel like there's a greater chance of the Knicks get bounced in round one than they do getting to the conference finals. Now, I know the defense is looking a little bit better, actually a lot better, and the numbers bear that out without Brunson. Now, I'm not saying that that's solely because Brunson's not there. It's because Mitchell Robinson returned, but also because Brunson is a very easy player to exploit on defense. So when he comes back, all right, now their ceiling raises clearly from an offensive perspective. But what does it do to the defense? We know what it does.
I would be stunned if the Knicks lost round one. Now I'm just looking at it here. Like, who do you think they're going to get matched up with? It looks like it's going to be Detroit or Indiana, most likely.
Well, Detroit's beat them twice at the Garden already this year. Twice.
You think Detroit...
Who's stopping Kate Cunningham? Ain't Jalen Brunson.
You think Detroit's taking the Knicks out?
I don't think they are, but I'm not saying it's going to be easy. And they could lose a few.
If they ever lost... I may have to come around to your thing. Now, I don't think it's possible, but if they lost in the first round to the Detroit Pistons when they have home court advantage this year with championship aspirations and the expectation through the roof, then I do think that maybe you start to question. Now, I wouldn't fire Tibbs myself, but it would be fair game at that point. They cannot lose in the first round, not this year. Even losing in the second round wouldn't be good enough, but at least you could say, well, you know what? Cavs are tough, Celtics are tough, however that matches up. It looks like, though, it's going to be Knicks and Detroit, potentially Indiana. Would you like the Indiana matchup better?
I think so.
Milwaukee as well. They're right within a game of each other.
Yep, I'm looking at the standings here. I mean, listen, the Knicks have 43 wins. The Pistons have 38. So that's not really a lot of a difference there. Not that that's the ultimate measurement. How do you match up? And just when they play, they haven't matched up particularly well. Again, it was a little early in the season, clearly some adjustments. But I watched both of those games, and I was like, wait. Now, I didn't know the Pistons were going to be quite this competitive, to be fair. So maybe it changes a little bit here. But I'm like, wait, the Pistons came in twice and beat you at the Garden?
Yeah.
What's going on?
I'm just looking at some of the numbers here. Not that I would go by this anyway with the NBA, but the points per game, the opponent's points per game, and the differential, like, the Celtics is plus 8.4 points differential.
Yeah.
Knicks is plus 4.5. That's not that big of a difference. But then look at the drop-off from where the Knicks are at to the Pistons.
And the Bucks, and like the Pacers. 2 points. Yeah. I get it.
So, I mean, I don't know if we're going based off of that. Now, Boston's got they only allow 108 points per game right around there. Everybody else is in the 112. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But those numbers aren't that different, even offensively, because I was looking to see what the Knicks scored versus the Pistons.
Mm-hmm.
Pistons are 115 points per game. The Knicks are 116.7. Like, and then the Knicks are right there with Boston. Boston's 116.6. Knicks have 116.7. Like, their offense is on par with it. I don't know. I'm not going to go by the numbers. We know Boston's got the championship pedigree. I just don't think... I think the Knicks are better than you're giving them credit for. I really believe that.
Well...
Okay, time will tell.
Sure. But, see, it's a hard thing to respond to now. It's not a lot of time.
Yeah.
It's not that I'm saying that the Knicks aren't good. Any take that I have on the Knicks is rooted in my expectation.
There's a curve here.
On what they would be following these moves, and now they've had 65 games to play, just about 67 games to play with each other. Where are we? Where are we with the head coach, who in a couple of years is going to be 70? I'm not trying to age him out. I don't mean that. But when you're 67 years old or whatever Tom Thibodeau is, and you have no championships, nor do you have any NBA Finals appearances, I'm just merely pointing out that there's a very distinct possibility that the Knicks don't have a championship coach. I mean, we talk about a championship roster, which I'm not even so sure. As a matter of fact, I don't think they have that now. So if I don't think that they have a championship roster... And I, just based on the evidence, and I like Tom Thibodeau, but he's to me, he's like a B coach, not an A. and they don't have a championship coach, then why would I think they could win the championship?
Yeah, well, because they have the fourth best record in the league. Like, yeah. I think the Thunder and Cavs, clearly this year, both on record, both on metrics, you look at the numbers, the differential, points per game, all that stuff, they seem to be playing at a different level. The Cavs haven't done it yet in the postseason. We need to see where they would be in the postseason. And maybe the Celtics turn it up a notch in the playoffs, and that would be the thing. That's their thing. But, I mean, I think the Knicks are on par with anybody, at least in the Eastern Conference, if they're at their peak, which we haven't even seen yet.
I know. I wish I felt the same way. I don't. Let me ask you this, and this is an almost impossible thing to answer now, but give me your first gut reaction. We come in, Knicks losing 6 or 5 to the Celtics, fairly competitive series round 2. Your take is obviously not applauding them.
No,
so where are we at that point?
I'm going to be disappointed. As you always say, in this case, I think it pertains here. Like, you need to see how it plays out. Is it Tibbs getting out coach? Is it just, hey, we maxed out? Like, our stars aren't as good as their stars. Is it a depth thing?
How's Karl Anthony Towns play on the bigger stage here?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot there.
I know. You got to see the optics. That's what I would say. The optics. What does it look like?
Yeah, now we could guess what would be the issue. Maybe they're not being not tough enough, or their defense is an issue, or Towns not being good in a big spot. Like, those would be issues that I don't know how you fix. I don't think it's going to be the coach. I think Tibbs can win an NBA title. Saying he can do it and him doing it are two different things.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to be the thing that holds him back. I would think more Cat in the playoffs, or their style is too soft. Or their stars just aren't good enough to beat the Celtics or Cavs.
Let me say this. It's funny because Tom Thibodeau's never won, neither has Aaron Boone. Now, what I say about Boone, show me the team where he underachieved and didn't go as far as he should have. I don't think there's really a season as a Yankee manager that you can say that, because there's been a flawed roster. I can probably say the same thing about Tom Thibodeau, even with the Chicago Bulls and the T-Wolves. Show me the roster he should have won a championship with and didn't. So to be fair, again,
this
I think
is
Tom's
though,
really good. But now it's like, if it's not this year, when's it going to happen?
No excuses for anybody anymore. All right, that does it for us. Thanks to Dove, as always. Thanks to Zoo, filling in for Hoff. Thanks to everybody who called and listened. We appreciate each and every one of you. Back again tomorrow, 10 a.m. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday. Evan and Tiki, they're next.